I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have fun today. Juan Soto weighing in at 278 pounds today because his balls have swollen 30 pounds heavier than ever. The Raiders, swagger. Billionaire strut into Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, USA. Drop 23 points on one of the best defenses in the AFC. Hold Carson Wentz to squat. Run defense shows up huge. Daniel Carlson money as always. Overcome some Raider mistakes. Overcame our normal penalties. Overcame our turnovers. When it mattered, the Raiders shined, improving to 9-7 in one of the least lucky seasons in NFL history to keep their playoffs hope not just alive, but almost in the driver's seat heading in to play the Chargers next week. Massive win, 3 in a row. What can you say about this performance in Indy tonight, Soto?
It was a total team effort. Not only did we get a lot of good from every phase, we got a lot of bad from every phase too.
Yeah.
But the good came out in the end. We did it. We did what we needed to do. We stopped them. We drove the ball down, kicked the field goal. Defense, offense, special teams. All three phases were clicking early.
Mm-hmm.
All three phases were fucking up middle. And all three phases came back big, late. A total team victory. Excellent job. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for me to do the good, the bad, the ugly, because there was plenty of everything, but that just goes to show you what happens when you have a good game plan going into a game and you have players that execute and are willing to put it on the line. Josh Jacobs, my hats off to you, dude. You were not 100%. Your ribs were banged up and you still carried the ball. You still moved the ball in the second half. Big kudos to you, man.
I would say this is the best coached game the Raiders have had all season as far as complete coaching. Greg Olsen dialed up a couple really good plays. That first interception Carr threw, brilliant play design, getting Deshaun Jackson one-on-one, had his guy beat, brilliant playing call. Rich Bisaccia going for it twice on fourth and short. He was arguably the most conservative head coach in the NFL. And he went for not one, but two fourth and shorts. That fourth and two was ballsy. Got them both.
Touchdown.
Gus Bradley drew up a couple really specific blitzes just for Carson Wentz in Indy against a really, really good offensive line. Those game plans played out well. Really brilliantly coached today, which is not something we've been able to say about the Raiders this season all that often.
I said it last week, is this is the time where you break your tendencies, right? We broke the tendencies. Coach, you're right, man. Madden helped us out on that one for sure.
Looking down on us.
Last week,
illustrator, moving people around.
Boom!
Eating his turducken.
Last week, we broke tendencies by running Jalen Richard. We did it again this week on third down. We ran Jalen Richard. We broke tendencies by the plays that we ran early downs, not just late downs, running the ball, throwing the ball deep. The way our game plan was set, it was very fluid. If they had if they loaded the box against us, guess what? We just threw it out wide and let the receivers make the play. If they had the two safeties deep, then we ran the football. Defensively, Nate Hobbs is becoming one of my favorite players in the entire NFL because this guy was dynamic throughout. That pass interference was complete horseshit. He stopped Jonathan Taylor a couple times short on run help, and he's their best blitzing player. He's their best blitzer, regardless of position.
Raiders defense showed up yet again against the run game. So the line going in was the Colts are undefeated when Jonathan Taylor rushes over 100 yards, and they don't have a single win when he rushes under 100 yards.
Tell him like our 300 against Derek Carr, right?
Carson Wentz, like the game plan coming in was obvious, right? Like, you know, we all had the exact same game plan. Load the box, stop Jonathan Taylor, force Carson Wentz to beat you. And if he can beat you, c'est la vie, right? Like, then so be it. But we are not going to let Jonathan Taylor beat us. He did actually go over 100 yards. He had a really good game. 108 yards, 5.4 average. But the key was we got ahead early, and we kept getting him into third and medium and longs, which was big. Like, that's exact. Like, against the Raiders, it could be like we're almost like better on like third and nine than we are third and two, right? The Colts, they need to be third and short, get their running game going, get the game out of Carson Wentz's hands. So we did get Jonathan Taylor did get over his 100 yards, but we kept so many of their drives stalled with third and longs that Carson Wentz couldn't dig them out of.
We made them predictable, and the thing that we can make teams predictable, well, defenses can make teams predictable in a couple of different ways. The main one is down and distance, right? Offense can also make teams more predictable, which is by, you know, getting ahead by double digits, getting, you know, making it, and if they work together, you really make a team extremely predictable. Jonathan Taylor only had 20 carries. That's not a Jonathan Taylor game. Jonathan Taylor game, like, is if you would have flipped Carson Wentz's attempts and Jonathan Taylor's carries, that's more of a Colts game. If Carson Wentz had 27 attempts, that's more of a Colts type of game. You want him to run 25, 27, 30 times, I'm sorry, if you're Taylor, and you want to throw the ball if you're Wentz 20 times. That's what they wanted, but our good run defense on first and second down and getting ahead and forcing them to throw the ball more, this is what I said we needed to do. Same game plan as against the Browns last week. We have to force another great running team. We have to force them into predictable situations, which we did. And if we can do that, then we can use breaking our tendencies to it's like a multiplier. You maximize going against your tendencies throughout the year, and you confuse Carson Wentz, which he's not too terribly hard to confuse.
WXVE sucks. Beat Colts at their best. F the NFL Raiders. Because that was the giant storyline coming in, right? Colts had Carson Wentz, multiple other players, unvaccinated players, test positive for COVID-19. According to the league rules at the time, in mandatory 10-day quarantine. Can't play. Done deal.
They're
right?
All out.
We saw the betting line swing drastically. They were like a -8. They swung almost roughly to like a -2.5 at one point. Then the CDC changes their guidelines because Delta told them to. Another story for another type of show.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's another story. That's the political channel.
You're fucking up with my money.
But they changed their rules. So they basically got everybody healthy that we didn't think was going to be healthy. That wouldn't have been healthy last week, last month, last year. But just so happens, and this isn't the NFL picking on the Raiders specifically, like some people think, although
it's
they
Delta,
do.
It's not, Delta picking on the Raiders.
Yeah, Delta Airline. Yeah, we're an American Airlines show, by the way. Fuck Delta. But we got them at their full strength. And I don't want to hear for one second any Colts fans complaining, oh, Carson Wentz didn't get to practice all week, or other players didn't get to practice all week. No team is allowed to complain about bad luck to the Raiders.
Nope,
not allowed to. You cannot... You can't cry about losing $100 at a blackjack table to a homeless man. And that's basically what's happened. Our luck has been the equivalent to a homeless man this season.
I believe it.
We're 9-7. Still we're one way away from the playoffs. Still in the driver's seat. And we did it without John Gruden. We did it without Henry Ruggs. We did it without the last month and a half without Darren Waller. Then it without Damon Arnett. Then without half of our front office. And we're still going.
I want to have that time, that amount of energy, RJ, but I don't know if my heart can take it.
Hey, if you had a heart attack right now because of excitement of being on the Autumn Windbags after the Raiders all but sealed their chance into the playoffs, that's how you should go, Soto. This is how you need to die. On air, during the Autumn Windbags, after a big win. Feel free. Go ahead.
Add strippers and I'll co-sign for that.
I will send them over right now.
Oh,
speaking of COVID...
Female.
I have it right now.
Do you?
Yeah. 2 days ago. I got second time I've gotten COVID. But it was kind of nice because then I got to spend all day yesterday quarantined in my office away from the family, just like looking up Raider stuff and like watching footage and shit like that. It's been great. I need to get COVID right when the playoffs start, when we get in. That's what I need. I need a good like 4 days. But COVID's the weirdest thing. It like doesn't affect me. I get it. And I'm just like kind of fatigued for like a day or two. COVID to me is like your dick to women. It gets in there, but once it's there, it doesn't do much. You know what I'm saying?
It works for me.
Exactly. Right. COVID's fine. It's like, hey, I infected somebody. I'm just not dragging them down.
When did you test positive? On the 31st?
Yeah. New Year's Eve.
Oh, so you
felt kind of crappy that morning.
You didn't go to the New Year's Eve party?
Nope.
That's why I didn't go. Because my girl was like, because for Christmas Eve, my cousin and his son tested positive, and she freaked out. She's like, dude, no, there's going to be a lot of people that I don't know at this party. I don't know how they take care of themselves or what their thoughts are or whatever. I don't want to go. And I'm like, dude, you know what? I agree. If you don't want to go, that's fine.
Yeah.
We actually freaking drove up to the top of a parking structure in downtown Long Beach and watched the fireworks. It was pretty chill. I liked it.
There you go. A little quarantine date.
And it was free.
It's not bleach. It's not horse paste. The cure for COVID is the Raiders winning.
Raiders,
I feel
football.
Like $1 million right now. I feel like I just took all the steroids in the world. I'm like Drago.
Rocky, oh God. Floyd.
It was
he
beautiful.
Was peaked.
Oh yeah. Just
he was vein. Peaked.
Super veiny.
Vascular.
So Derek Carr, really, really efficient game when you start looking at a stat line until you get to the last one, right? 24 of 31, 255 yards, 8.2 average, one touchdown, two really ugly throws turned into two really bad interceptions. One of them, the deep one to DeSean Jackson. Love the play call drawn up by Greg Olsen. Got DeSean Jackson one-on-one. D-Jax beat the guy. Great read by Carr. Great decision by Carr. Underthrew him, and it was an interception.
That just goes to show you guys what all it takes for these plays to be made. You're not just, you know, drawing up a play and just throwing the ball and like, oh, I completed it. No, you're going against guys that are really good, the top in their game, that are trying to stop you. So if one of those three things, the play call's not there, the route's not there, and the throw's not there, it's not going to get completed. Mm-hmm. And man, he was gone. He was gone. If you're going to float the ball that high, throw it on a laser or float it 10 yards too deep. I don't care. One of those two is fine with me.
That's the margin of error for quarterbacks. Because he had a really good game minus two throws. All it took was two of those 31 to turn it from a really good game into below average, efficient, but the two turnovers were bad.
Turnovers really.
And also luck, too. Like, you think of the Carson Wentz touchdown pass that bounced off, like, Casey Hayward was finally going to get his interception, right? He has like the most almost interceptions in the league. He's in perfect position. Wentz stupidly, while running from pressure, throws it into double coverage. Casey Hayward just standing right there ready to get it. Jerron Morig bashes into him. Those two and the receiver fall down. T.Y. Hilton just standing there and just falls into his lap.
Jerron Morig is like Pigpen. Just like the shit just follows him, you know? I don't know, man. He's a good player. He's starting to fall out of favor with me as the season goes on because of plays like this.
Rookie error. You don't hear his name called a lot.
Man, he's a rookie, but it's like, it's not like he just started playing football. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be one thing if it was like a blown coverage or, you know, whatever. These are balls that are hung in the air waiting to get picked off.
Yeah.
This is twice now where he's really screwed it up, and he's cost us one win and almost cost us another.
So it didn't hit me until this morning when one of our listeners, Benji Kays, hit me up on Twitter and he said, can you think of a bigger game in Derek Carr's career than tomorrow? Plus this was yesterday about today's game, plus the personal side of beating the team that broke his leg. It didn't even occur to me. This is the first time Carr's played the Colts, right? Since he broke his leg on Christmas Eve in his almost MVP season, wasn't it? Or definitely his first time playing in Indianapolis since then.
He broke it at home. He broke it at home. But they played him last year, and freaking Taylor had like 220 yards and touchdowns. That was his – dude, last year, and I think it was week 12 against us, that was his coming out party. Because after that, he just went on a roll the rest of the year, and people were talking to him about him about being one of the top, you know, handful three rushers in the NFL after that performance. Because then you take a look back at his season, like, okay, he was pretty good. He had that big game, and then he followed up by like two or three more big games after that. But yeah, that was his coming out party against us last year. But yeah, it was at home. It was at home. Hey, this just in.
Okay.
Bruce Arians says in his press conference, Antonio Brown is no longer a Buck.
All it took was for him to rip off his jersey, rip off his gloves, rip off his shoulder pads, throw them all into the stands, run
through the field as play is going on.
For Bruce Arians to finally say, like, you know what?
Fucking deuces up.
I'm gonna play tough with Antonio Brown. I'm gonna really put my foot down.
Listen, AB, you know I love you, buddy. And if it was up to me, I'd bring you back. But you know how it is.
I want Antonio Brown to sign with the Chargers today, right now. That's what we need. We need that cancer on opposing AFC West teams immediately.
Dude, AB always has like super sick games with a new team. Like, we can't do that.
Well, this is the third.
He had like two touchdowns with the Pats his first game. His first game with the Bucs, he had like two touchdowns. Like, you don't want that. You don't want him to play for the Chargers next week.
Is this the third or fourth straight season where we've lost our number one receiver? Like, Antonio Brown was supposed to be the number one receiver, didn't play a game. Terrell Williams, Henry Ruggs. Every single season. We can't get a number one receiver to stay with us for an entire season. They always fall apart with like the craziest reasons.
Friend of the program, Hunter Renfrow. Mm-hmm. Breaks 1,000 yards. You know, he's
congrats
within a striking distance of 100 catches. I think he had like 98 mm-hmm. today. Good game, man. 98 total. Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter Renfrow, 7 receptions, 76 yards, in that touchdown. Could have been 2 touchdowns and 8 receptions if that DB didn't get just like that one finger prick on his ass or on his foot on the way up there. Zay Jones, huge game, 8 receptions, 120 yards, and did have that 42 yarder. He's still who he is. Like he loses the track of the ball so easily and he makes mental errors sometimes, but he just has such good connection with Carr that just kind of bails them both out of trouble sometimes.
I'm going to be a little picky here. The coach in me, that beautiful slant ball that Carr threw to Zay Jones. If Zay would have just ran through that catch, he would have at least 5 more yards, probably closer to 10. But he jumped up and caught it, and it would just allow the defender to catch up to him.
Yeah.
Just a couple things here and there, just to kind of the separation between the Zay Jones of the world and, let's say, you know, the Jamar Chases of the world. Jamar Chase got the same exact pass. Ran it for like a 70, 80 yard touchdown.
There's a receiver I played with in high school called Matt Mendez. And we had this thing that we would always joke about because we'd call him the Mexican jumping bean, because every single time he'd catch a ball, he'd have to jump. The ball could be at his knees and he'd still jump. Like, he always felt like he had to jump. It'd be like perfectly in his chest and he'd jump and like catch it in his stomach. He just always had to jump. And Zay Jones reminded me of that. We're just like, why are you getting in the air? Like, are you trying to make this like more fantastic of a catch than possible? Like,
he's trying to absorb a hit, is what he's trying to do.
Yeah. He didn't want his knees to get blown out. Back to Carson Wentz. The first four drives of the game in the first half, right? They had 5 drives in the first half. The first 4 for the Colts, 1 of 7 for 8 yards. Wentz was atrocious today. Now, the final drive, when the Raiders started backing off playing prevent defense, he went 7 of 9 for 59 yards.
I don't get that. We already have a prevent defense. Mm-hmm. Keep everything in front of you. Rush and make the we already play that. If you loosen that up even more, it's just an easier read than you've already read the entire game. So it's like nothing different.
I've been telling you guys all season when we got to Indy, like, I'm not worried about Carson Wentz. I'm not worried about that. You're like, well, he's not that as bad as you think. You know, he do some things well. Dude, he's bad. There were some wide open passes that he just completely whiffed on.
Carson Wentz played poorly today, but he's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Coming into today, he had 3,200 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 6 picks. He's not terrible. He's not bad. He just had a bad game today.
He has-
that's
he has above average numbers because everyone's putting eight people in the box to stop Jonathan Taylor too, right?
But like that's what we did too. That's what we did too. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is he has the ability to play better. He just didn't play well, and a lot of that I'm not going to discount.
And his one interception was the luckiest interception of the season. Like that should have been a pick.
Or his touchdown, I mean, yeah, that should have been a pick. But yeah, that's what I'm saying is, I mean, is he a world beater? No, but in this offense, yeah, this guy, he just does his job and doesn't get stupid. Yeah, he's fine.
If Wentz was on the Raiders and Carr was on the Colts,
that'd be a 13.
The Colts would be like, we'd be like 14-3, and the Raiders would be like 3-14. It'd be like,
yeah, fucking that's Wentz, like the, bro.
That's how good the Colts supporting cast is, and just how bad.
Well, yeah, that's just how good of a roster they are, top to bottom. Except
we beat a really good goddamn team.
That's a good team,
right?
Man.
Their starting quarterback,
healthy. They were healthy. They were there. They were all in.
Best back, active back in football. One of the best lines in football.
Yeah. Something to play for. It wasn't like they were just showing up to go through the motions. Like they could have won the division if they would have won today. They could have clinched a playoff berth if they won today. And still been in line to win the division, but they needed some help. They had to win the last two, and then the Titans lose the last two, but they still had something to play for. They could still not make the playoffs if they lose next week.
Yep. This was a big game for them. At home. Yeah. Had other starters.
Yeah.
They had the rules changed for them just in the nick of time to give them every advantage against, again, a Raiders team. We all know the story. No coach. Tight end gone, number one receiver gone, all the drama in the world. We put our foot on their throats, twisted around, walked away as 9-7. Hey, this is the second winning season of the Raiders in the last two decades.
Yeah.
Guaranteed a winning season.
Weird. It feels really weird.
Only 2016 was the only other time we had a winning season since the Raiders went to the Super Bowl in 2001. Isn't that crazy?
Second
winning season in 20 years.
I wouldn't necessarily say we stepped on their throats. I think this was more of a we flicked the back of their ear.
We farted in their mouths.
And then they turned around and they couldn't find us. We snuck out of there with
their left
that
shoulder
wind.
And around the right shoulder.
Yeah, we snuck right through with that wind, dude. Oh my God. I can't express how impressed I am with our front. Our defensive front is. And our
and you're an ass man. So the fact that you like a front must be really good.
I do like some nice titties too, man. Come on, let's just not. I like them curvy. Let's just say that. Let's just say okay. I like them curvy. Why do I have to pick a side?
I like a 360 angle.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I talked about this about a month ago when we were kind of in the depths of our losing streak. I said, you know what? Going towards the end of the season, you have to be ramping up and playing your best football. Mm-hmm. You have to fix some mistakes. You have to go against some tendencies. You have to have better game planning. You have to have better execution. Players that necessarily didn't play the best early in the year have to be getting better. And if our offensive line doesn't kind of encapsulate that, I don't know what does. Because our offensive line is starting to gel. The plays that we're calling are more suited. The power running plays are more suited for our personnel. We're putting ourselves in a better position to run the ball when we do run the ball. It's not such an obvious running down. And yeah, man, it's all about breaking tendencies in the NFL because everyone has so much tape on you. You have to fool them a little. It's just calling the play and having the players isn't just enough. You have to outsmart them. And we did a good job this week.
Just kind of watching Twitter as the press conference goes on. Denzel Perryman, he looked kind of off today.
He's a little slow.
He was on the reserve COVID-19 list all week. He said there were times when he felt like he couldn't breathe today.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
COVID affects everyone differently. For me, I'm just bulletproof to it for whatever reason. Denzel Perryman, it seems like it hit him kind of tough, which was big having him there. Even kind of like a diminished version of Denzel Perryman, we need.
He's on seven tackles, man.
Yeah. Oh, he played well. Five solo. Yeah. You know, it wasn't his normal like 13 tackle game against a run team like he normally does. But also we had time of possession on our side. We had better time. If we have better time of possession against a team like the Indianapolis Colts, that's kind of half your battle.
That's
right?
Their game. That's their game, man.
That's what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like I think I texted you and Rory during the game. It was like one penalty by the Colts offense, and that kills the drive.
Yeah,
they can't,
because you're forcing them to throw the ball. And it's like, yep, we don't want to do that.
Because now it's Wentz in the pocket, and if you know Wentz is going to throw, other than that last drive of the first half, we're going to shut him down.
RJ, I have a question for you real quick.
I have an answer. Fire.
Who are the best five defensive tackles alive?
Phylon.
Dude, he had eight tackles today, and I don't doubt it, man, because he was in the backfield every single play. He was
Jonathan Hankins today.
Yeah, that's another.
We still played well.
That's another big up. Mm-hmm. These guys, I'm going to name a couple of guys in our defense who are trending like skyrocket, not just trending good, are skyrocketing from even the middle of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Divine Diablo led the team in tackles. Nine, so all of his tackles were solo tackles, so that he was hitting those holes and hitting it hard, like RJ. Roderick Teamer taking over for Abram, he had eight tackles. Phylon, like these are our leading tacklers. We didn't see these guys, on the stat sheet even towards the middle of the season. Got Nate Hobbs, wasn't a starter till the middle of the year. Phylon, Teamer, Diablo, like these guys are really making it happen towards the end of the year, and we're finding who are our players. Now we know who we have. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where defensively, we had good players in those positions, but if you could be this, they were almost too healthy, where we really didn't see the younger guys come out and play.
Yeah.
And now that the younger guys got the opportunity, they're like, dude, I have this starting job now. I'm not letting this starting job go. Like guys like Teamer who've started, and Phylon who have started somewhere else, maybe have been to jail, right? Or been arrested or whatever. These are guys, Perriman, these are guys who've had their starting jobs taken away from them in other places. They get them here and they're like, dude, I know what it takes now. I can't let slip an inch because there's a guy running right behind me. And ask Corey Littleton. He didn't record a stat today. Was he active today?
I don't know. Did he even see the field?
Let's take a look at the
stats. None of the linebackers went out. Even with Denzel Perriman just breathing on a respirator and his ankle screwed up. We really did show some depth this season. Other than O-line and tight end, because the Foster Moreau just wasn't as good as I thought it would be. Obviously, with Derek Carr, losing our number one and number three tight end is rough. But other than O-line, every place we've been ravaged, we've been able to play no problem. D-line, injuries, no problem. Linebacker room decimated, no problem. Wide receiver room decimated, no problem. I really loved all the Marcus Mariota packages today, too, for a couple reasons.
Great plays.
One, just showing creativity, and like you mentioned, late season, new wrinkles. If we just put in, even if they spend just like an hour a week just building a little Mariota package, four or five plays to do in short yard situations or red zones.
Well, that was the plan the whole year, but he just didn't learn.
That means like 10 hours of prep that the Chargers have to do next week to prepare for it. Like you only have to show a little bit of that to create a whole other like three ring binder that the next defensive coordinator has to worry about. Because now you're going from an opposite of a Derek Carr-led offense, right? Either hand the ball to Jacobs or throw it deep to somebody. Now you're like, oh, man, RPOs, option plays, quarterback design runs, naked bootlegs. Like, these are all things that Derek Carr never did. And so if you have to prepare for that with Marcus Mariota, then you're just kind of wasting, right? Then you're burning a lot of work hours on the other end that shouldn't have to be done. Which is great.
And the thing is if we keep doing this as an offense, the defense just can't roll the dice. Like the opposing team just said, well, you know what? It is what it is. We've seen it before. It's to run off RPO, whatever. No, his pass was a good defensive play. It was, it was right on the money. It was a good defensive play. His pass that got knocked down. But I like it a lot. I like it not just in goal line, but in the middle of the field. I like it not just on third downs, but on second downs. Like, hey, bring them in, give them something to think about, get them it's breaking tendencies. You break tendencies, and the game plan you have, you're forcing the defense to go very vanilla.
We're paying the guy for 2 years. Let's use him, right?
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons why, I don't know that we talked about this before, one of the reasons why bringing in Mariota, not just on third down, why it works so well is because it forces the defense to go extremely vanilla, extremely basic, because they're not sure what's going to happen on that play because it's not an obvious third and short situation. He can pass the ball. He can do RPO. He can, you know, do like an option type. The main thing that we have to focus on is, that's like I said before, I'm going to be a broken record, is breaking these tendencies. That's one thing that John Gruden didn't do throughout the year. That's one thing that we are doing right now, and it's helping.
So a lot of things went well for the Raiders outside of us actually playing, right? So right now the Chargers are playing the Broncos. We're rooting for the Broncos. The let me see the rest of the scoreboard here. The Bills won. They're already in. Doesn't matter. Bears won. NFC doesn't matter. Bengals beat the Chiefs. We would have preferred it going the other way. Would have been nice if the Bengals were 9-7, same as us. But they beat the Chiefs in a thrilling last second win. So they're now 10-6. We can't overpass them, and they had the tiebreaker over us. So they're gonna be in above us. Titans beat the Dolphins. Good for us. Obviously, us beating the Colts, and again, double win for us, because not only are we one win up, but one of the teams ahead of us is now down, and we have the tiebreaker. Double win for us. Pats destroyed the Jags. Doesn't matter. And the Ravens lost to the Rams. So a lot of good things went our way. We're rooting for the Broncos, and that's kind of it for the AFC for the rest of the day. So again, it all comes down to winning next week against the Chargers. We do, guaranteed we're in. We lose. A lot of things went our way. We could still get in, but obviously the mentality is, what's better than going to the final game of the season, beating the Chargers to simultaneously knock them out of the playoffs and put us into the playoffs? I don't know about you guys, but I have more Charger buddies than I do like Chiefs or Broncos or any other fans. I have way more Charger fans as buddies than anybody else. That would be the most satisfying way to end the regular season.
Charger fans, like old school Charger fans that live like in the LA area, are so goddamn annoying, dude. Like, one of my best friends.
All seven of them?
No, there's a lot. There's a lot.
There is. There is. It's like, they just don't fill stadiums.
Yeah. Because they only cheer for the Chargers because they're not the Raiders. And everyone has this view of what a Raider fan is and all this stuff. And it's like, they put the stigma on there. And they don't want the stigma, so they're just going to root for somebody else. Yeah. A good friend of mine, probably one of my best friends, he said, oh, I'm like, dude, why are you rooting for the Chargers? Like, when we were younger, growing up through high school and stuff, like, you didn't like a team. You just liked certain players. Like, you were just rooting for a specific team. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, well, one of my buddies, Tommy, is a really big, you know, Charger fan. I'm like, I've known you since you were like 13 years old. Like, you know, I've been a Raider fan. Like, that doesn't fly with me. Like, mm-hmm. There's a reason why you didn't want to be a Raider fan. Well, there's a reason why you chose to be a Charger fan. It's because you're a pussy. I mean, that's the only reason why.
It is nice that pussies label themselves by wearing Charger jerseys.
Well, you can smell them a mile away.
You know what I mean? It is nice. And honestly, having like the Charger fans are some of the easiest ones to deal with, because they're like the least creative shit talkers. Like, every time the Chargers win, they're just like, just one, baby. Or just, you know, like,
oh, we got you.
The same, like, 1,000 lines we've heard over and over and over again, you know?
We beat
like,
you again.
Not creative. Like, they're the ones that are easy to deal with. You're just like, okay. Like,
that's
not creative.
They're the only ones who, like, hijacked our post-game press conferences, like our post-game shows. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones to do it. Like, because they beat us the last time we played. And they're the only ones the entire year. We've lost, you know, seven games this year. And they're the only team to go on to hop on and do it to us. It shows you what kind of shit dicks they
and
are.
And I don't remember them because they don't say anything memorable.
Yeah, it was always like, oh, like,
I know they were there.
Ah.
They said something. Go Bolts. I don't know. Something weird.
Something stupid. I don't know.
So again, Derek Carr, 24-31, 255 yards, touchdown. Really great game. Sans, two terrible interceptions. Moving around the pocket really, really well, too. Offensive line played so good last week. I think I still feel like they're generally trending up just because of how bad they played earlier in the season, especially that right side of the line with Brandon Parker and Alex Leatherwood. Oh, by the way, little stat on Leatherwood that you're going to love, Soto. This is, I don't think there's any way to like piss you off today, but this might be it.
Let's hear it.
Raiders had their fourth false start this season when they had 1 yard to gain on first down, tied for most of the NFL. All four of them were by the rookie Leatherwood. Mm-hmm. The worst opportune time to just move his big ass. Is he just dumb?
I think, dude, look, I don't know him personally.
I have no clue.
But as good a coaching as he's received, here's the thing, as good a coaching as he's received, you can't tell me you don't go play for Alabama and you don't get coached up. You don't get coached hard.
You're used to big moments. You're used to playing the best.
You play for Tom Cable right out of college. You play for Tom Cable, who is a tough-nosed, good football coach. Mm-hmm. He's getting coached up. And you're still making these bonehead mistakes. Yeah. But I do want to touch on one thing here. I was going to wait, and I'll elaborate a little bit more on this.
Okay.
But.
Teaser and a delivery.
Andre James. Since week 7.
Okay.
So is the 6th rated center in the league.
PFF. According to PFF. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been trending better. Like he's been improving every single game. It's like I talked about earlier with, you know, there's multiple reasons why the Raiders got rid of our very expensive, older right side of the line, right? With Hudson, Jackson, and Brown. One, to save money. Two, I think they want to get rid of them and cash in on them while they were still valuable, but as they were getting old, because he keeps getting hurt. Now, even though this line was hurt by injuries real early, right? Losing Good and Incognito, it's been basically the same line all season after that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, pretty much.
Continuity counts.
It's Parker in and out a little bit.
Parker in and out, but generally, you know, more or less the exact same line.
Yeah.
All season long. They're starting to gel. They've played all these games. And they're young. And generally, the general rule is the younger you are, the less likely you are to get injured. And so they've had some continuity. And while defensive lines are getting older and beat up as the season goes on, and as linebackers are getting older, more beat up as the season goes along, our young line has still got young legs. They're all in their 20s.
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody, not this weekend, but the weekend before. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I don't know why you guys just dismantled your offensive line. And that's a big thing. That's why you're losing and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, I said, and I just met the guy, and he's a friend of a friend, a very close friend of mine. So I don't want to shit on him too bad. But I told him, look, you know, who did we get rid of? You know, Trent Brown didn't want to be there, paying him way too much money. He's playing well when he plays with the Pats, but unfortunately,
he was on IR this year. That's a point.
But yep. we're paying him way too much, and he didn't want to be here. So you got that combination of the things, and you could still get something for the guy. Do it, right? Mm-hmm. Rodney Hudson was declining. He's getting older. He's making a ton of money.
Also went on IR this year.
Yep. So, okay, I see what game we got something for.
But played well. He played well.
He's played well this season. And Gabe Jackson,
not a $9 million.
Overpaid. Not, you know, we had Denzel Good, who was making a lot more money, and should be Incognito, coming off of an injury season, but the season before was great. So I said, we had pieces. The problem is we had two of our five starting linemen not play a snap the entire year. Yeah. We had a good offensive line there. It's just now we had to put in our third string offensive line. Yeah. And that's Hunter Biletnikoff. That's great. I like that. Hunter Biletnikoff. That's awesome.
He's got a lot of good nicknames. You know what I mean? Third and Renfro, Hunter Biletnikoff.
Hummer Renfro. But also is, I told the guy, man, we had to use that money on our defense. We tried building an offense around our offensive line, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, just throwing money at a problem doesn't work if the money isn't tied to the right player. You know what I'm saying? It's like, John Gruden's line always bothered me about Trent Brown. He's like, well, we paid him to be the LeBron James of right tackles. It's like,
he was never that.
You could pay me to be the LeBron James of right tackles. It's not going to make me the LeBron James of right tackles. Like, the player is the player, regardless of whether, you know, what you pay him. And just because you wanted him to be that guy, didn't make him so. You know what I'm saying?
I still miss Rodney. One more thing before we wrap up.
Okay.
I said it before a couple weeks ago that we haven't shown that we're the team that can overcome monumental mistakes, mm-hmm. right? And we've made quite a few mistakes in this game. Derek Carr had two interceptions. Leatherwood had the penalty on third and one. We were driving, you know, for a touchdown. Basically, we had third and short.
Dropped interception.
A dropped interception. We had a kickoff after our field goal towards the end of the half. Go out of bounds. Like, these are mistakes that really could have swung the game, and we were able to overcome. And that's the sign of a team that is going to be a tough out. Everyone knows when they play the Raiders, you can win, but it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Because they're buckling down, and when it counts, they're making it happen. The last couple of weeks, especially, I don't want to hear any of this crap about, oh, this team was, you know, ravaged by this and ravaged by that. Whatever. We all have adversities, and that's why I don't like talking about it. We all have adversity as fans of teams. All our teams go through adversity. We just have to be able to overcome. Who overcomes and who's able to put their best on the field, and we did that the last couple of weeks.
Raiders going in Indianapolis and beat the healthy, according to the CDC, Indianapolis Colts 23-20 on the back of a great run defense. Offense that came together when it needed to, put together a couple very, very good drives, great coaching, really good return game too. We had a couple really good punt returns, kickoff returns, special teams in general played really, really well. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, one of the best coaching games that the Raiders have had maybe all season. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back latest on Wednesday, maybe even before then if news changes, things like that. Maybe we'll do like a playoff preview or something, depending on how this weekend goes of week 17. But we're going into the final week of the NFL 2021-2022 season, 9-7, the second winning season of the last 20 years for the Raiders. Can't take that away. No matter what happens next weekend, we still had a winning season, an improvement. We're trending in the right way the last 4 years. Of course, now we're getting greedy. Now I want playoffs. I want playoff wins.
I want what's coming to me.
We've proven that we can hang with the upper echelon. We've beaten basically every team in the playoff hunt, right, that hasn't already clinched. We've basically beaten all of them, right? So we prove that we belong there. We prove that we can beat guys that go there. Now it's time to actually show it. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me.